Returning to that blessed portion that we've been studying for some weeks now, the 23rd Psalm. Last time we were studying the words of verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." As we look at this particular verse, we can understand certain things. There is such an experience for God's child as walking through the valley. This may have reference, as Calvin believed, to the various dark times that we have to pass through in life. There are valleys as well as mountaintops that every Christian has to traverse, and those are all in the purpose and in the providence of God. There is, of course, also the application to death itself. And as you think about a valley of the shadow of death, that's very significant because, as Spurgeon observed, a shadow of a dog never bit anyone. A shadow of something that's harmful has never really actually done any harm to a person. It is the valley of the shadow of death. And the reason that there's no harm is that it's not the reality, it's the shadow. The Lord Jesus Christ has removed the sting of death by his own death and resurrection. And so there's a light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus came into my heart and my life. The valley of the shadow of death. Everywhere that there's a shadow, there is a light that shines. And Christ is our light. We thank God, therefore, that even walking through the worst of valleys, the shadow of death, we can say with the psalmist, "I will fear no evil." Isn't it interesting that he doesn't say, "I will encounter no evil"? I will face no evil. I will experience no evil. No, he doesn't say that. There will be evils to face in life. There are negative things as we would view them, but they're not things that we are to fear. I will fear no evil. And the reason why we don't fear as believers in Christ, as the sheep of the Lord, is because of the presence of the shepherd. Those who are shepherds or have been shepherds have observed that the sheep that are normally nervous and timid and excitable and sometimes very fearful will quiet right down, will be at peace and at rest when the shepherd is within sight. When they can see the shepherd, when they can know that his presence is near, all of that nervousness and that fear disappears. "I will fear no evil because, for thou art with me." How good it is to know that the Lord is with us, even in the deep and dark valleys of life. I've never met a Christian yet who did not need comfort. Every child of God needs, from time to time, and maybe a lot of times, consolation and comfort. And the Lord promises to provide that comfort. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The comfort that you need as a child of God can only come from God himself, through the Spirit and through the Scriptures. And the Bible speaks of both of those. For example, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, in speaking of the churches of Christ of that day, it says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied." Notice that. The comfort of the Holy Ghost. So there's the comfort of the Spirit that the Lord's people may know. And then in Romans chapter 15, the Bible talks not merely about the comfort of the Spirit, but the comfort of the Scriptures. Romans 15 verse 4.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And you'll see that it mentions the things that were written aforetime. It's obviously there a reference to the Old Testament Scriptures. Anyone who tells you just forget all about the Old Testament because you now have the New Testament doesn't know what they're talking about. The Old Testament is full of comfort. And notice that these two things may be brought together, the comfort of the Holy Ghost and the comfort of the Scriptures. That's how the Spirit of God works. He works through the Scriptures. He applies the Scriptures to the heart of the child of God, bringing comfort to his soul. But I want you to notice here today, as we come to the latter part of verse 4 of Psalm 23, that the comfort of the sheep derives from the rod and the staff of the great shepherd. This requires a word of explanation. In the East, each shepherd boy, from the time he first starts to tend his father's flock, he takes special pride in the selection of a rod and staff that are exactly suited to his own size and strength. He will, for example, go into the bush and select a young sapling which is dug from the ground. This is then carved and whittled down with great care and patience. The enlarged base of the sapling, where its trunk joined the roots, is shaped into a smooth, round head of hard wood. And the sapling itself is shaped to exactly fit the owner's hand. And after he completes it, the shepherd boy spends hours practicing with this club, learning how to throw it with amazing speed and accuracy. And in a sense, the rod or staff, more than any other item of his personal equipment, identifies the shepherd as a shepherd. I'm sure you've seen before an illustration, or you might even have literally seen a shepherd's crook. It's rounded on one end. And by the way, the shepherd's crook became a symbol in Anglicanism and in some other communions of the minister. And some of those characters in those churches would need something else done with that crook that I'm not going to mention today because they don't preach the truth. However, the shepherd's crook is a symbol, obviously, of the shepherd. And it reminds us of one who is called to look after and to care for and to tend the sheep. There's no one in any other profession that I know of who carries a shepherd's staff or crook. It is uniquely an instrument that's used for the care and management of sheep and only sheep. It's not used for cattle or horses or hogs. It is designed, it is shaped, and it is adapted especially to the needs of sheep. Now there are many commentators, and I have to say some of their comments would be best left to one side and you just go with what the Bible says. I know that there are commentaries that are helpful, and I'm not one of those who would tell people not to consult commentaries. They're very helpful, but sometimes not so much. And many of the commentaries, you can check them out for yourself, will tell you that the shepherd has a stick in one hand and he has a club in the other. Now, that may be so in some parts of the world, I'm not sure. But usually the shepherd's crook, the rod, if you like, and the staff are talking about one instrument. One end will be the crook, the other end would be the rod. So the rod and the staff may well be thought of as one implement. Some will disagree with that. But that's quite often what shepherds do. That's certainly true in the United Kingdom, in places like Scotland. And I remember reading this in a book by Douglas Macmillan when he talked about choosing out a shepherd's crook for himself. He talked about choosing a hazel stick and how he would spend the winter either shaping a ram's horn to fit it, or if he could find the right kind of branch growing out of a tree, he would cut out the block and he would shape a wooden one. like a ram's head. This was the shepherd's instrument for working with the sheep. And Macmillan, who was a shepherd, said, "I never in my life saw a shepherd going to the hill with two crooks." He said, "If they did go to the hill carrying two sticks, we would say to them, 'You should stay home.'" The rod and the staff, therefore, is one instrument. And that one instrument, I believe, is what the Lord is referring to here in our text. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, how can we speak of the rod and staff in the shepherd's hand as being an instrument of comfort? Well, I think we can say this in the first place because the rod and staff was an instrument of deliverance. This one instrument has a number of different uses. But one way it could be used was as a staff. The shepherd could use it to pick up the little lambs, and that is how one caught them when they were running away. You would just hook them around the neck and bring them up, and then they would be in your hands. And that's why a crook tends to be quite long, because sometimes a sheep would go down into a bog, a marshy area, or into a pit, and instead of you going down in there, you would reach down the crook and hook the animal by the neck and extricate that animal from that position. Or a sheep might fall into the sea or fall into a river. And that way the shepherd's crook could be used to hook her out of that place. The instrument, the rod and the staff, was used therefore to help the sheep. An instrument of deliverance. We know that sheep get a bad rap because they're looked upon as silly creatures. But perhaps they're not so much silly as they are stubborn. And they often get themselves into the most ridiculous and preposterous dilemmas. Sometimes a sheep, because he or she is greedy for another mouthful of green grass, will climb down a steep cliff, and then they would fall and slip into the sea. And only that long shepherd's staff could lift them out of the water back onto solid ground. Another common occurrence might be to find a sheep stuck in a labyrinth of wild roses or brambles where they had pushed in to find a few stray mouthfuls of green grass. Unwise, because soon those thorns or those brambles were so hooked and fastened into the wool that they couldn't possibly get away. Hard as they might tug and pull, they're stuck. Therefore, only the shepherd who comes with his staff can free them from their entanglement. And surely there are spiritual applications to all of this. Aren't there times when we get ourselves into scrapes and into a mess because of our own stupidity or our own stubbornness? And we go in a way that we shouldn't have gone? We're not really following the shepherd. We're following afar off, and we get ourselves into some scrape or other. Thank God for the mercy of our shepherd when he comes to comfort us with the rod and the staff. When he takes that crook and uses it as an instrument of deliverance. And we can thank the Lord for many's a time when he has extricated us by his grace from a bad situation. But not only can we say this rod and staff is an instrument of deliverance, it is also an instrument of discovery. It's an instrument of discovery. We think about this interesting use of the rod in the shepherd's hand, which is to examine and count the sheep. In the Old Testament, on a number of occasions, we read of the Lord using the rod or the staff to number the sheep. Turn to Leviticus chapter 27 and read verse 32. "And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." Every tenth sheep would be marked as the tithe by the shepherd. So here we have this interesting use of the rod in the shepherd's hand. It is to examine and count the sheep. And in the terminology of the Old Testament, this was referred to as passing under the rod. You find this in other scriptures. In Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 37, for instance. Let me just read that to you very quickly. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. Passing under the rod was part of the shepherd's use of the instrument of discovery to examine and to count his sheep. And this was not only the animal coming under the owner's control and authority, but also the animal being subject to his careful, intimate and first-hand examination. And there's a spiritual application to this. The Lord, the shepherd, uses his rod and staff to number his sheep. You know, there are those who are not the Lord's sheep at all. They're goats. And some in that great day will be discovered to be goats and not sheep. Because the Lord will count when he writeth up the people. And in Psalm 87 it speaks of those who are counted as the Lord's because they were born in Zion. But there are those who are not sheep. They're goats. The Lord numbers the sheep using the shepherd's crook. We see in John chapter 10, which is really the New Testament Psalm 23, I suppose. It says in verse 3 of that chapter, to him the porter openeth, this is the shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21 furthermore, and in verse 27 concerning glory, concerning heaven, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. In other words, the sheep that are counted as his. The rod is an instrument of discovery. Some are not sheep. They're not numbered among the sheep. They are among the goats. As we've already intimated, this instrument, the rod and the staff, is an instrument of diagnosis. Whenever the animal is looked upon, a sheep that passed under the rod, it was one that not only had been counted, but it had been looked over with great care to make sure that all was well with it. Sometimes they have to be examined to see if they have diseases like scab, and therefore the shepherd will take his crook and he will lift the fleece with that crook. He'll look underneath the wool to see if the sheep has got any problem on its skin. I don't know if you've ever seen on a television show or one of these programs that deals with things from Wales or Scotland, sheepdog trials or a sheep show. But if you've ever seen that, at a sheep show, there will be a judge who runs the rule over all the animals there to judge how good they are and so on. They're very important men. But what they will do is they will go around staring at the sheep. They look at them. And those who are shepherds will say concerning those judges, they've got an eye for the sheep. And you'll see those judges taking a stick or a big piece of a staff, and they will fluff up the wool on the animal. You might think, well, what are they doing? Well, they're looking for scab or maybe ticks, insects on the animal. They're examining the kind of skin that the sheep has, and they do that with the crook. Because of the length of the wool, quite often it was not easy to detect diseases or wounds or defects in the sheep. I mentioned there are a sheep show where there are judges. Sometimes at such a place, an inferior animal could be clipped and shaped and shown so as to appear a perfect specimen because of some clever farmer who wants to try to pull the wool, pun intended, over the eyes of the judges. But those judges are sheep men. They're clever. They're experienced. They have an eye for the sheep. And as someone said, one does not just pull the wool over the judge's eyes. So he'll take that rod or that staff, and he will part the wool of the sheep very carefully to determine carefully the condition of the skin, the cleanliness of the fleece, and the way that the body is shaped. A careful shepherd, in caring for his sheep, will from time to time make a careful examination of each individual animal himself. As the animal comes out of the corral and through the gate, it's stopped by the shepherd's outstretched crook or rod. He opens the fleece with the rod. He runs his skillful hands over the body. He feels for any sign of trouble. He examines the sheep with care to see if all is well. And this is a very searching process, entailing every intimate detail. Now you might say, well, how is that a comfort to the sheep? It's a comfort to the sheep because by using that instrument of diagnosis, he finds any hidden problems that can be laid bare and treated. And the Lord cares for us. Just as the shepherd uses the rod or staff to reach out and catch the individual sheep, young or old, and draw them close to himself for intimate examination, so the Lord uses his staff to bring us close to himself, so that we're not dwelling at a distance from him, but we're close to him, where he can be constantly examining us and putting right the things that are wrong. See, sometimes sheep pick up diseases. Sometimes they are afflicted by ticks and other insects. And a sheep can really get into such serious trouble as to actually have his life affected potentially by an infestation of certain insects or getting a certain disease. So the shepherd is watching out for that. He uses the rod and the staff as an instrument of diagnosis to find out if there's anything wrong. And we think of the one who wrote this psalm, and we remember how he said to the Lord in one of the other psalms, Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, it's a comfort to know that the Lord is watching over us. It's a comfort to know, like Hagar said, "Thou God seest me." The Lord is acquainted with all of our ways. He knows all about us. There's nothing that's hidden from him. And we can hide things from our fellow men. We can hide things even from our nearest and dearest. But we can't hide anything from the Lord. The Lord knows, and the Lord can see. So not only does the Lord use the crook to count the sheep, but he also uses it to care for the sheep. And what a blessing that is, to think about the instrument of the rod and the staff as being not only an instrument of deliverance, an instrument of discovery, an instrument of diagnosis, but also as an instrument of defense. You see, the shepherd cares for the sheep in such a way that he wants to keep them out of dangerous places. Not only to lift them up when they fall, not only to use that crook that's bent on one end so it's useful in hooking the animal out of some ditch or pond or deep place, but also to restrain our enemies, to deal with those that would do us harm. And there's no question that this is part of what the rod and the staff indicates. The staff was used as an instrument of defense, to ward off predators, to deal with animals such as David talked about, the lion and the bear, to be able to defend the sheep. The rod was what the shepherd relied on to safeguard not only his flock but himself when there was any danger. The shepherd's rod was an instrument of protection, particularly when the sheep were perceived to be in any danger. It was used as a defense, you might say also a deterrent, against anything that would attack the sheep. And if we learn from those who have talked about these things in other cultures and other parts of the world, a skilled shepherd in any country will use his rod to drive away predators. There are animals that love to kill sheep, like coyotes and wolves and cougars, even stray dogs. Often a rod may be used in certain places to beat the brush, discouraging snakes and other creatures from disturbing the flock. And in some cases, such as what David recounted to Saul, the rod may be used to beat away the lion that comes to raid the flocks. We know the lion in Scripture represents the devil. He goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's just ready to destroy the sheep. At any moment, he's ready to attack the sheep. But thank God for the comfort that there is in thinking that the shepherd holds this instrument of defense. This is his main weapon of defense. In fact, in a sense, the rod was an extension of the owner's own right arm. It stood as a symbol of his strength and his power and his authority in any serious situation. And do we not read in John chapter 10 of the good shepherd? We read of one who is an hireling. You know, the hired help. He doesn't really care. The sheep don't belong to him. Jesus talked about that in John chapter 10. He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not," they don't belong to him, "seeth the wolf coming," there's one of those predators I talked about, "and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." Here's a shepherd who's not really a shepherd. He leaves the sheep. He doesn't care for the sheep. He's all about self-preservation. But the true shepherd is not like that. Jesus said, John 10:13, "The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." And again he says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Oh, the Lord, our shepherd, protects the sheep. He cares for the sheep. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He will help us. Psalm 34 verse 7 tells us that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The Lord protects his people. The Lord looks after his people. The Lord preserves his people. We can be certain that our good shepherd will not leave us alone. Again, we have some words in another psalm. It's Psalm 94 from verse 16. The question is, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge." God is my defense. The Lord is looking after the sheep. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." C.H. Spurgeon said, "The Holy Spirit is the great comforter, and he it is who alone consoles the saints if their hearts be really cheered. But he uses instruments to relieve his children in their distress and to lift up their hearts from desperation." What a joy it is to know that the Lord is looking after his people. It's an instrument of defense, the rod and staff. But I also want to mention this. The rod and the staff, as well as being an instrument for protection, and we know the Lord is our King who rules over and defends us and subdues all his and our enemies. But also he uses as our good shepherd the rod and the staff as an instrument of discipline. See, the purpose of the staff is not only for counting the sheep and caring for the sheep, but also correcting the sheep. And this is a very interesting thing to consider, how that the rod is used by the shepherd for the welfare of the sheep. But it was an instrument that he used to discipline and to correct any of those wayward sheep that insisted on wandering away from him. You might say, well, what's comforting about that? You might say, well, it's nice to think of the shepherd using the crook to help us and to get us out of danger and protect us from our enemies and be a means of blessing to us, but it's not so nice to think of him with the rod correcting us. But here's the thing, friends, we need it. We need it. Sheep need correction. Hebrews 12, verse 6, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. In that very passage, we learn that those who are not corrected and who are not chastened are not sons at all. They're illegitimates. The word that's used in the Authorized Version is bastards, and not sons. And that's a terrible thing to consider, not to be a genuine child of God. But if you are a genuine child of God, and you're scourged, you're chastened, it's not because the Lord hates you. It's not because the Lord is angry with you. Isn't that how we often reason? You know, you hear the world talking like this. When good things happen to a person, you know what they'll say? You must be living right. That's what they say. Because they think that it's all about what the Hindus call karma. You do nice things to other people, then that has a way of coming back to you like a boomerang. That's what people think. That's how they reason things. Therefore, if there's bad stuff, as they look at it, happening to you, they conclude it's because you've done something wrong. God is angry with you. God is not pleased with you. God is punishing you. That's how people think. But that's not what fits in with the teaching of Scripture. Think of Job. Job was an evil man and doing everything he could to go against God's word. Is that what it says in Job chapter 1 verse 1? Not in my Bible. It doesn't. It said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And then it says this. That man was a man who was, quote, perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now I should say the word perfect means well-rounded or mature. It doesn't mean that he was totally without sin. However, perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil or rejected evil or hated evil. So here's a man who has real integrity. He's living for God. He's serving God. He's a worshipper of God. And even when bad things happen to him, he doesn't turn away from God. He worships. And when the Lord removed his whole family in one day, all 10 of his children, and his health broke down, Job worshipped. And he said in those famous words, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then it says this, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. How often have you and I, even as Christians, when something bad has happened to us, felt like shaking our fist in God's face? And if we haven't articulated our frustration, we've thought it. Why, Lord, are you doing this to me? Why would you allow this to happen to me? And you could well hear the Lord saying back, why not? Why not? Have we some claim on God that means that we should be immune from problems, difficulties, afflictions? But there's comfort in knowing that the Lord allows things to come into our lives for our chastisement. See, if a shepherd saw a sheep wandering away from its owner, or approaching poisonous weeds, or getting too close to one danger of one sort or another, sometimes that club would go whistling through the air to send that wayward animal scurrying back to the flock. Or if the shepherd was near enough, he would use that crook to pull the sheep back. See, the rod or staff, it's not a symbol of punishment. It's a symbol of concern and of the compassion that the shepherd has for his sheep. And there's no other single word that can better describe the function of the rod and staff on behalf of the flock of sheep than that it is for their comfort. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. The rod sometimes signifies to us authority and power and discipline and defense against danger. And we don't often think of it as something that is connected with long suffering and kindness, but it is. The staff, the rod, is an instrument of special comfort to the sheep. It plays a significant role, the staff does, in sheep management. Sometimes the sheep has to be drawn back into a more intimate relationship with the other sheep. Sometimes the shepherd will use his crook to lift gently a newborn lamb and bring it to its mother if they become parted. And one shepherd that I read about said that the reason that the shepherd often uses the staff to gently lift a newborn lamb like that is because he doesn't want the ewe, the mother sheep, to reject her offspring because it might have the odour of his hands upon it. So he uses the staff gently to lift that animal. The staff is also used for guiding the sheep. He prods them and pushes them in one way or another to go into a new path or through some gate or along a dangerous, difficult route. If you've ever been to a sheepdog trial, you'll see that sometimes the shepherd will do that last little bit, getting the sheep in through the gate using his rod or his staff, guiding them. He doesn't use the rod to actually beat the animal, but he'll take the tip of that long, slender stick and he'll lay it gently against the animal's side and just apply some pressure to guide the sheep in the way that he wants it to go. And so the sheep is reassured in that way of its proper path. Oh, how the Lord, our shepherd, uses it, his instrument of chastisement, even for us when we are disobedient sheep. There's a scripture that speaks to this in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 37. The Lord says, "And I will cause you to pass under the rod." We quoted that a few minutes ago. This is the rod of correction. And don't we read in Hebrews chapter 12 about that correction? We may wonder sometimes how a staff of chastisement can be a comfort to us. But the comfort, friends, as I want to emphasize again, is that it suggests that he loves us. He loves us. We think of our own children. We don't correct our children because we hate them. We correct our children because we love them. We don't want them to go in a bad direction. We don't want them to swallow that thing that may end up killing them. We want them to go in the right way. And so it is with the Lord, the shepherd's crook, the shepherd's instrument. It's in his hand. That's the great thing about it. It is in his hand. Some time ago, a brother that I knew got into Bypath Meadow, and the Lord put out his hand against him in chastisement, which he himself acknowledged. He wrote to me about it, and he told me that in his life he had felt the lash of the rod. But he said, "The thing that comforts me is that that rod is in my Father's hand. It's my Father's rod, and the Lord has used it for my comfort." In Job chapter 23, verse 10, we read those lovely words. When the man of God was under pressure, he was feeling the weight of his circumstances, he was able to say, Job 23, verse 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." There's comfort for the saints of God, for the Lord's sheep, as they traverse the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord is in control, and the Lord is the one who is handling the sheep. I just want to finish with this illustration. Douglas Macmillan, who became a preacher in the Free Church of Scotland, but prior to that was a shepherd on a farm, he said, "We used to have to handle sheep. We had to dip them 3 times a year. And if you've never seen a sheep being dipped, that's quite something. He said we would take them into fanks, that is sheep pens, and handle them. And he said that's a lovely word, because in the Gaelic language in Scotland, old Christian people used to talk about, in Gaelic, how is God handling you just now? And what they meant was, what is God doing with you in the realm of your soul and the spirit? He said, I remember I was dipping sheep with two of my brothers. And we used to get tourists even away up in Argyllshire, Scotland. When they saw a sheep in this fank, the cars would stop and the people would come over. And by the way, I remember doing that myself on a country road in the north of Scotland. But anyway, he said, one of them I remember seeing these big rough fellows picking up little sheep and tossing them about as they thought, oh dear, aren't you very rough with those sheep? There was this big fellow picking up a sheep with his huge hands, and it looked as if he had just got hold of it any old way and it was hanging there. But he says, you see, he was holding the sheep precisely as a sheep should be held. Those big rough hands were actually very tender. And he said what looked like rough handling was in fact very tender handling. And of course the sheep didn't like being shoved into a bath of strong smelling dip and having their heads pushed right under any more than they liked getting shots or injections from the shepherd to stop them from having fluke, or what we call the trembling. But whether sheep liked these things or not, Macmillan said, they had to have them. A shepherd has to handle his sheep. And ultimately the sheep know that this is for their good. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord may have to bring many things into your experience that you will not like. But as the Lord's sheep, you can take comfort even from the hard things and the dark places. Sometimes we pray that the Lord will sanctify us. We pray and ask that the Lord might bless us, and sometimes we don't know what we're asking for. Because the path to that blessing might be a lot of trouble. We're asking God to handle us and to mold us and shape us. Maybe we're praying that the Lord will give us holiness of life and we'll know his favor and his fellowship. Or maybe the Lord will have to handle us. Maybe we're going to, as one said, have to have the rod applied. But it's for our comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Think about that. Above all other things, the shepherd's crook is there for our help. May we trust him. May we trust him. Fear no evil. Fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.